Evening. As we were last week, we're looking at exclamatory prayers. A prayer with an exclamation point at the end of it is something that is, as was reviewed last week or established last week, it is something that is exciting. It's a big event, somebody said. A major event is taking place, and it's something that we are shouting out. We're exclaiming before the Lord, and so we're going to look at this prayer that Nehemiah offered at this time. Just by way of review, remember, in Israel, Israel and Judah, Israel in the north, Judah in the south, exiled. Israel exiled to Assyria, and Judah exiled to Babylon, 70 years under bondage, and then kind of at some different times released and let back to Jerusalem to help build kind of three waves of returning back. And actually one of those, Ezra, which I'm going to be preaching a message from Ezra on Sunday morning concerning thankfulness. And so you can look forward to that. Don't typically go to Ezra. In fact, I went to my notes. I have a whole bank on my computer of the books that I preach out of, and I thought, I want to see what I preached out of Ezra before, and there was only one message there that I had preached. That doesn't mean that's the only message, but it was the only message that I had saved in there, so I haven't always saved things the way that I do today, but only one that I at least have saved other message, and so looking forward to give you a message from Ezra concerning period of this time and a time to give thanks. And so, anyway, here with Nehemiah. Nehemiah is under some turmoil because his home nation, his homeland, his home city, temple, things have been destroyed. It's in a bad situation, and he has a burden for that. And so, Nehemiah is cupbearer under King Artaxerxes of Persia. And so, he is there, has a good position, has a good place. There in the kingdom, but he's burdened for Jerusalem, and so Nehemiah prays in chapter 1 and asks, and just he's wanting to know what to do, he doesn't know how to do it, and we see in chapter 2 that God opens up the door through probably some ways that he didn't know would happen, through a question, through a countenance that he had, and I don't believe that it's because Nehemiah decided, I'm going to get the king to ask me a question today, I'm going to go in all sad and get him to ask, although we can do things like that, we can have ulterior motives and our own ways of doing things. I'm not convinced that that's what Nehemiah was necessarily thinking, and so we get to chapter 2, and last week we looked at the opportunity that God had given him. And we see the fact of his prayer, you know, the fact that he prayed. And last week we just simply looked at the fact, you know, we need to pray. Sometimes we just don't pray for things. And we need to pray. When all else fails is the wrong statement. It's not when all else fails. Prayer should be the first thing on our minds. As soon as as there's something that we need or there's a need that somebody else has, the first thing that we ought to be conditioned and trained to do is the fact of prayer. Let's pray. God, we need your help. You're the only one that can do it. Prayer, what's so significant about prayer? Is prayer pleading with God so that he'll change according to our demands and desires? No. It's a discovery of God's will, honestly. But God says to pray and ask, and he will give to us. And so there's a lot about prayer that we don't understand. We're trying to understand. Lord, you know, teach us to pray. Teach us to understand prayer. Teach us to know about prayer. So we're trying to learn this. Last week we looked at the fact of prayer. At any and every opportunity, in any and every situation, besides his exciting opportunity, and in spite of much previous prayer, he still prayed. All right, Nehemiah chapter 2. Let's start back in verse 1, and then we'll make our way to verse 4. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence, Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then said the king unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and in starting in verse 5, and I said unto the king. All right, interesting prayer. And again, I've already mentioned some of the points. I have 4 points that I want to give you tonight, and don't have a whole lot to say about them, but just give you four simple things that we see from this prayer. First of all, what do we notice about the prayer? It was very short, wasn't it? You ever played with somebody that prayed very, 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 very long? There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's a good thing to be able to pray. I don't think there's anything not spiritual about a short prayer. It doesn't necessarily mean that a long prayer is not spiritual or spiritual. The prayer of a righteous man, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man says what? Faileth much. Does any qualification there on the length of the prayer? No. It's effectual and it's fervent. But that righteous man, his prayer avails much. We see the shortness of the prayer. How long was his prayer? It's not recorded, and that's actually another point here we're going to see. But it was a short prayer. Obviously, it was a short prayer because the king said, why are you sad? He said, why? Of course I'm this. And the king comes back to him and says, well, what's your request? And right away, he prayed to the king of heaven, and then in verse 5, he answered. So, obviously, it was a very short prayer. I want you folks to understand something that, as we look at the manner, and by the way, the topic for tonight is the manner of prayer. The manner of this prayer was that it was very short. There are times in life that would require a short prayer. In fact, sometimes I think it's good to pray these short arrow prayers, what I call them, because they're just bursts of exclamation. And I would say in that it's an exclamation that gets a hold of God's attention. Not that God needs to, I wasn't paying attention. Now I need to listen to Sean. But it's an exclamation that says, God, I'm serious about this. I need your help right now. I want to tell you something. My children at home could say, Daddy, or they could shout out, Daddy. And one of them's going to do more to me than the other. Because there's an exclamation there. It's something that is there. It's that little, short, powerful punch right there. I need you. Are short prayers bad? Say, a longer prayer is better. No, in fact, I think that we have need to say this. I would say in life, short prayers are actually needed because the short prayers, not that we try to be short, like, okay, I'm going to be like Nehemiah. I'm going to pray a really short prayer tonight during prayer time. I'm with, a couple other people. I'm going to do a good one tonight. I'm going to pray 3 words and I'm going to be done. The point is not that you have to pray short, but the point of the matter is that when you're in life situations, you've got to be prepared and ready to pray short prayers. Because life doesn't always sit around and wait for a prayer meeting that you go into the closet and take an hour to pray for things. We've got to be consistently willing and able and practicing short prayers. God, I need your help. And last week I gave you some examples of that. The phone rings. Lord, help. The situation comes up. God, help. And I'll tell you, I practice these short arrow prayers. But even since we talked about it last week, the short opportunities have come up many, many, many times. God, I need your help. You're ready to walk into that place. Lord, help me to be that testimony. God, help me with this. The fact of the matter is the manner of Nehemiah's prayer is that it was very short. Are you okay to pray short prayers? Now, again, that seems so simple. Like, why would you even make that a point tonight? Because I think some people have a misunderstanding that prayer has to be something very formal, that has to be in a quiet place, and I've got to be by myself, and I've got to. Folks, you can communicate with God just like you can communicate with anybody else. Lord, help. And God responds to that, and we're going to see that within the fourth point. So the shortness of his prayer. Second of all, do you notice the directness of his prayer? And you say that's almost the same thing. No, he was very direct, and he had to be very direct and straight to the point. Have you ever talked to somebody and wanted something, and you gave them all kinds of flowery words to warm them up to you and what you wanted? You know, you're with somebody that's like, okay, I got to tell them all these things because I'm really after something, and so we got to make long words of it. I gotta really butter them up so that they, you know, will answer the way I want them to answer. And so I gotta tell them how they do so well at this, and they gotta do this, and they gotta, you know, this, and Lord, I really, you know, you gotta this whole you know, prelude of words before you get to the point. And yet sometimes people want to just get to the point, ask the question. And here we would say that Nehemiah's prayer was very direct. And again, we do not know the words, but obviously in the shortness of this prayer, he did not have time to be like, Lord, you understand the situation that we're in. You understand what's going on in Jerusalem. You understand this wonderful opportunity that I have before King Artaxerxes right now. You understand all this stuff. Lord, we could really use your help. I mean, he could have went on and on and on. But I feel, again, we do not have the words that he said. Obviously, it was very direct and straight to the point. God, right now, there's an opportunity. I need your help. And in the words, I need your help, or let's even dwindle that down a little bit, help. I have no reason to not even believe that maybe it was a help. We don't know because it's not recorded. But the fact of the matter is, there was a very direct statement. You know what? Sometimes, folks, we can get away with all the flowery words and get to the point and say, God, this is what I'm asking. This is what I need. I believe that God blesses our directness of our prayer. How do I know that? Well, we see God answering in a pretty direct prayer right here. You answer the question, did God help Nehemiah right now? Better believe he did. He did help him because he was able to get out what he needed to, and the king responded. This is a pagan, heathen king. And he responds. And God can use these other people in life. But so we see the shortness of the prayer. We see the direct prayer. Let's get a little practical with this. Sometimes we beat around the bush about certain things, you know, when sometimes we just need to be very direct. We're very careful to mention names. Now, I believe that in a public setting, we do need to be careful about some things. Maybe somebody shared with you a confidential matter. Well, if they did, I don't think that you ought to get before everybody right here and in front of everybody, like, you know, spill out all the things that they told you in confidence. I think that we need to be careful with that. But in some cases, there's things, and I'm not even talking about public prayer. I'm saying sometimes at home, you know, we even pray like we're in public and we won't give names, we won't give any detail. And it's kind of like the prayer that says, God, you know what's best, and so I'm not going to pray for anything. I just want to pray your will be done. No, God, I need your help right now. Jerusalem is lying waste and your help, and help is needed. And again, we don't know what he prays, but it was a direct prayer for sure. The third thing that we want to see, and I've mentioned this, the prayer was a silent prayer. There's nothing recorded that said that all of a sudden he prayed before the king himself. King, would you pause just for a second, because I'm going to go to the Lord right now. And I'm going to talk to the Lord. And although you're going to hear me ask him some things and some questions and some statements, you know, just hold on for a second. Again, you say, but Pastor, can we prove that he didn't? I can't show you that, but it does not at all seem from the context that he prayed an out loud prayer. We do know this, whether it was said aloud or not, it's unrecorded, an unrecorded prayer for us. Question, is a silent prayer valuable? We've talked about a short prayer. We've talked about a detailed prayer, a direct prayer. What about a silent prayer? Does that count? I know that sounds funny, but honestly, some Christians ask that. Does a silent prayer count? You know, now, the thought process of a count, does a prayer count? You know what? God hears your prayers when we come to him. But you answer the question. What if somebody came to you and said, hey, Christian so-and-so, does a silent prayer count? Now, I say it that way because a lot of people talk that way. I've been asked questions just like that. Pastor, does a silent prayer count? What's the answer? Of course. Does God ever tell us that our prayers have to always be verbal? I mean, of course that we could pray silently. Prayer is communication with God, and we have the ability. You know, when I speak to God, now, can it be good sometimes to verbalize our prayers in out loud verbal prayers? Of course. I like to pray out loud. Some of you might, maybe you don't do that. You don't want anybody to hear. I most, 95% of my prayers are out loud prayers. However, in fact, some of you, you know, don't think I'm kooky if you ever come into the church, you know, and you break in here, and I don't know you're here. I'm just kidding about the breaking in. But if you catch me talking, it's not because I've gone cuckoo. It's probably because I'm praying or whatever like that. I was in here yesterday, and somebody came in unnoticed, and I didn't know they were here. It was Carol Fiorentino. Her and Frank were dropping off something and whatever like that. And I was talking with the Lord. I was praying. All of a sudden, turn around, and there was Carol. It's like, I'm really not talking to myself here. But you know, it's something that verbalizing our prayers can be a good thing, and we can talk before the Lord. But folks, honestly, you know, a silent prayer in your mind where your lips aren't moving and there's nothing going on, and you're kind of thinking, you know, God help. It's not a matter of whether your lips are moving or whether, you know, there's a voice coming out. But if you're communicating with God, and we understand it's a prayer, it's a matter of the heart, you know, as you're communicating with the Lord. So do unrecorded silent prayers count? Absolutely. And I want to encourage you, in the middle of the things you're going through, short prayers, direct prayers, silent prayers, because I think when we practice some of these things, again, so simple that I've given you, hardly, you know, almost common sense type things. I want to tell you, a lot of people are too formal and they don't feel like they can do this. But I feel like if we can pray short prayers, direct prayers, silent prayers, I think it will increase our prayer life times a lot. I want you to understand that you can get comfortable with all throughout the day praying to the Lord. Even when you can't verbalize, you might be at a meeting, you know, and you're not going to say, hold on, everybody, and talk. But right then and there, in the quietness of the hour, nobody has a clue you're praying. Lord help. God help. Practice short prayers, direct prayers, silent prayers. And then the fourth is also a given. The prayer was short, the prayer was direct, the prayer was silent, the prayer was effective. Now, this is not something for you to do. It's just the fact of the matter. When you pray, it is effective. Now, again, all we have about this prayer is, so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Now, honestly, was that, now he's not praying, but he's making his request to the king, and that was a pretty short, direct answer to the king as well. And he's right to the point. Honestly, is that a pretty big prayer to be praying to King Artaxerxes right now? What do you think? I would say it's a big prayer. King, relieve me of my duty here. I'm asking you to help me, you know, to go. It's a very bold prayer or a request to the king. Verse 6, and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? What kind of an answer was that? He didn't even answer it. It was assumed. How long are you going to be gone? I kind of like answers like that. How long are you going to be gone? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And he continues to go on. And notice at the end of verse 8, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Did Artaxerxes answer this? Well, he did, but who really answered it? So, question, was the prayer effective? Was this a big thing for Israel? Was it a big thing for Judah and Jerusalem? Was this a big thing? Huge, folks. Huge. We have the deliverance from Egypt. We have the deliverance from Babylon and Assyria. We have this deliverance, and they go back to rebuild, and it's going to take a while. And then, of course, we have the introduction of Jesus Christ coming to Bethlehem many hundred years later. But it was big. It was big in what this little prayer that Nehemiah prayed to the Lord. And yet, this powerful prayer that is so super important was a short prayer. It was a direct prayer. It was, from what we understand, at least a silent or an unrecorded prayer. But it was a very effective prayer. So, can God use your short little prayers right before you answer the phone or right before something happens, and all you do is say, God help? Can God answer those requests? Absolutely. And my challenge to you, as a Christian, is that you practice short prayers. Now, that doesn't mean that you just completely go to short prayers. You say, boy, this is nice. Now, my devotion time just got cut in, in 100 pieces. Now, I got 99 of them left because all the pastor said is all I had to say is, Lord, help. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying incorporate different types of prayers. And one of the prayers that many people think that are very ineffective and not worth anything and don't work are little prayers. But I would say to you, by submission of Nehemiah chapter 2, short, little, direct, silent prayers work just as effective as any other prayer. God hears the same prayer as the long prayer. And so I want to challenge you to pray that way as well. And God can do amazing things. God can do amazing things. And I've told this story before, just a little short story. My uncle was out in Wyoming working as a truck driver, taking some things to a place. He went to collect, I think, bank-owned tractors and stuff. He had to do it. He had a scary job that day to go and pick those things up because they had to be repossessed because the people weren't paying their money. My uncle gets out. It didn't seem to be anybody. I'm telling a fast version. There was nobody on site, probably some ranch out in Wyoming. And I know this may seem silly to you, but my uncle got out of the vehicle and there was nobody on site, and around the corner came up, whatever they were, a pack of dogs, came charging him and barking and everything. I mean, 100 miles an hour, coming after him. And it was a lot of them, whether you're afraid of dogs or not. He was afraid, and he didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, he told me, he said, all I did is he cried out, Lord, help. He out loud, I mean, he just said, Lord, help. And the drop of a hat, those dogs stopped and turned around and went the other way. Now, I don't know what it was. Well, I do know what it was. It was an effective short little prayer that he used, that God used to deliver him from who knows what. I don't know what would have happened, but it's just kind of amazing. God answers little things. And, when you need help, God help, and he will do it. I've seen him do it in my own life. You've probably seen him do it in your life. Short, little, direct, silent prayers can be effective. All right, there's more to look at with this prayer that Nehemiah has, but we'll stop there. Okay, let's look at our...